This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is a special edition iFanboy podcast on Preacher. Special edition iFanboy podcast on the AMC series Preacher. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Hello.
And we'll be talking about the latest AMC comic book show. This is their third.
Their third? And,
they've got counting Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't count that other one. Nobody actually watches that, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
let's just... Not relevant. So this is the adaptation of the Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon classic Vertigo series Preacher that has been long gestating. It was going to be a movie and then a series and then a movie. And finally, Seth Rogen and his producing partner Evan Goldberg brought it to AMC. And we had the pilot episode just air this past weekend. They're airing it again this coming weekend. We won't get episode 2 until the following weekend.
It's an odd schedule. I mean, like, I know why they're not doing a new episode, because of Memorial Day weekend, but why not just launch it after Memorial Day? It was weird programming.
I think it was because they had to launch it in conjunction with the season finale of Fear the Walking Dead to get the bump.
Yeah.
And then it probably has to end before their next show starts.
Right. It's such a scheduling snafu.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm really excited that Josh is joining us, because I think out of the three of us, while all three of us have enjoyed Preacher and respect it for the classic work that it is, I feel when I think of Preacher, I think of Josh for some reason.
Well, I had a lot to do with it, so thank you for that.
Well, it's one of your favorites, right?
It's one of my favorites.
No. Yeah. It is my favorite. It is my all-time favorite comic book series.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite story.
Right.
In terms of like if you were to be like, do you like this movie or do you like Preacher more? I'm like, I like Preacher more than that. And that's totally true.
So before we get into it, spoiler warning for the show, possible spoiler warning for the series. Who knows what'll come up in this conversation? But if you've never read Preacher, I would suggest you read it.
Yeah, yeah. Just stop listening to this and go buy the first volume of Preacher.
Oh, no, the first two.
Yeah, the
you
first
read
two.
The first two.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
Just go for three.
Yeah. just go buy the entire run. Like there's no more confidence in a purchasing suggestion I can ever make than telling you to Preacher was the original. I'll buy the first volume, and then you're back at the comic book store in 2 hours to buy the second one.
Yeah. So I actually bought the all 9 volumes sight unseen, just on reputation, and that was this is a fun fact you guys might not know about. This Preacher was the series that got me to go, maybe I do like trades better. And then
when I put them on my shelf, I was like, oh, I like how they all look at the shelf like that. And that was the series.
Jeez.
It was 2000 when I read Preacher.
It's like Kurt again. Cobain drawing pot when he was 13.
Right. So that was that's what started it all. But what was funny about watching this pilot was that I haven't read Preacher since we did that video show on it, which was probably, what, 2008?
Yeah.
2009? Like maybe 2009? Mm-hmm. Probably not. Probably 2008. So it's been 8 years, and I remember the broad strokes of Preacher, but I was spending a lot of time trying to remember the comic and if any of the things I was watching on screen had happened in the comic, and I couldn't.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I realized I need to go back and
read it. I read it last year, so I read it one more time last year. It was probably my fourth or fifth time reading it, so.
It's funny. It's funny with these TV shows though, because it's so as a baseline with any comic adaptation, whether it's movie or TV, my current status quo is the lowest of expectations, and I'm open to be pleasantly surprised. But ultimately, I understand that television and movies are not comic books, and they will, you know, and so if I'm expecting to get the exact translation, that will not happen. And once you have that out of your head, it's a lot easier to just sit back and just be like, all right, let's see what they got. And
I agree with that. However, I think it's a Superman movie is different than a Preacher adaptation.
Agreed.
But Superman is just this character with 7 years of history. Preacher is a self-contained, basically a novel. So I look at it slightly differently, but I agree with you. I know that the conventions of a film adaptation are meaning things will have to change.
Yeah, so like ultimately what I'm looking for is I'm looking for the spirit. I'm looking for the vision or the, you know, the
Barlowitch.
Yeah, the voice or whatever. And after watching this, I don't know.
I went in with, because of my, I'm a savvy enough person to know, like, oh, this isn't going to be the same, and so I didn't expect it. So I don't want to say I was looking forward to it, but I thought it'd been really cool if it was really good. That's kind of what I thought. I was like, it's not, it's okay. And you know, I didn't know where it was going to go. But I think at the end of the day, I thought it was boring.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I thought the characters were right. I thought they looked great. I thought they sounded good. I'm totally cool with that. But they basically, what they did was they made an hour and a half. It was all before the first issue started.
Yeah,
they introduced every character in there. And I realized what they were doing was Walking Dead season two, where like the whole thing was going to be in the house.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's not a road trip anymore. It's because of budgets, I assume, you're going to do this whole thing in the town. And that was super not interesting to me.
Well, it's a pilot. And so I was watching thinking,
I'm guessing.
They're doing a lot of heavy lifting because there's a lot to set up. You know, this is a very unusual world that Preacher lives in, and for Joe Q viewer who isn't used to comic book stuff, you have to just do a lot of setup, which unfortunately means it was kind of slow for a lot of it. I thought parts of it were really fun, but the whole middle section was pretty slow.
I think my whole thing about it was that, and I kind of agree with you guys, I don't think it was necessarily bad and necessarily like, God damn it, they blew it, and they whatever, you know.
No,
like, but it was a lot slower than I would have expected, because with Preacher, for some reason, I feel when I think of Preacher, I think of fast momentum, crazy, all that sort of stuff, you know. And this, I feel like, you know, was super, you know, riding the brakes on it. And also, like, I guess you're right, Josh, in the assessment that it's kind of like before issue one, and like that's what kind of annoyed me about it, because. So talking about casting, right? I thought Tulip and Cassidy, great. Were like tons of potential there, and
Didn't look exactly like the comic book, but had the right spirit.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who plays Cassidy, I watched him in the UK show Misfits. And right. I think he's great. And I think this is like you talk about every now and then a part that like someone's born to play. Like, this might be
every time he was on the screen, I loved it.
Yeah, this might be the part that he's born to play. Like, they nailed that. But with Dominic Cooper as Jesse, It just like, I don't know if it's because the look or the brooding or whatever, but I didn't.
There was a lot of brooding.
A lot of brooding, and Preacher opens up with Jesse, you know, kicking ass.
It does.
Yeah. So.
The whole thing felt backwards.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was so basically like the story starts in the book that the shit happens. It hits him. He gets to kills everybody. He hits the road. He meets the people along the way. This was here are all the people. Is every single person you're going to meet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right away, and then an hour and a half later, like, all right, let's see if we do something next week. And that really bugged me because really, you're right. The first image we see of Jesse is super depressive Jesse, and it's way more interesting to show that later because that's not who he is.
Yeah, and it's very much the AMC trope of the brooding leading man who's trying to find his way, you know, which we've seen in various forms on Mad Men or Walking Dead or whatever, you know, whatever. But like in this particular case, like I Jesse, I remember isn't brooding. Jesse, I remember is focused and
confident.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't get that at all from Dominic Cooper, except for the scene in the bar, the fight scene.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
They should have started with that because that's the whole thing. Is that he's a preacher, so automatically you look at him, he's got the collar. But wait.
Yeah.
This isn't any preacher you've ever seen before.
Wait, are you pitching us?
Should have been. I mean, but honestly, like, that's the shock of it. That's the whole deal. You show him drinking, swearing, and fighting right away.
Yeah.
We're at a point in our hero pop culture where everyone wants the brooding main character. Which is why Captain America stands out. We talked about that on that podcast. Yep. Is that everyone else is tortured by who they are, what they can do, and things they've done, and that seems to be what people are into.
It's funny because I was reading a bit online. I was trying to see what some of the kind of critical reaction was, and I know last time I mentioned any other publication or writer, I got in trouble, but.
Us in trouble.
Yeah. Well, because I said it, you guys said it. So, I was the guy who wrote an article or a review or whatever for Wired. Basically, the headline is, you know, it was something along the lines of, you know, Preacher TV show breathes new life into 90s relic. And his entire
give me his name.
and his entire thesis was that the Preacher comic of the late 90s, you know, 21 years ago, is a bombastic, violence-filled comic that reflects the culture of the late 1990s, and that
Deadpool,
and that doesn't really fit. Yeah, exactly, and that doesn't really fit now. And now it's, you know, kind of translated, and it's like, way to miss the mark, dude. Way to miss what Preacher was all about. And like, I do when I think of comics that represent the 90s, I do not think of Preacher. Preacher is a work on its own that is unique and special and wonderful. And
Preacher's like one of those albums that is so good and it doesn't matter when it came out.
Yeah.
Like you can listen, it came out in 1975.
Yeah,
but even that, because they put it in Texas, it doesn't quite count. Yeah. And they have an iris. So.
I kind of like Dominic Cooper's hair here because
that didn't bother me. I like
it. Jesse had big hair in the book. He just had big curly hair. Here's just a big sort
that
of
that to me adds to the there's a giant cartoonish element to Preacher too, and I think that's one of the reasons that they were running into trouble tonally.
Yeah,
is that you were trying to figure out how to make that wacky stuff, and there was definitely some of it, but then they were mixing it with the broody stuff to try to make people know that this is actually serious.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you were mixing it with these like Edgar Wright action scenes. That, and I don't know how they should have looked because I don't know. I couldn't put my finger on the tone.
Liked the wacky parts and the action scenes. I thought that's when it felt more like Preacher. So it felt more like a Garth Ennis comic. The fight on the plane, Tulip building the
bazooka.
The kid.
Yep.
That all felt like the Preacher tone to me. Sort of, which is Garth Ennis is right. Sort of silly violence where he he's winking at it.
Yeah,
it was in contrast with the Jesse stuff, which felt like a different show.
And that's why I feel like coming into this conversation,
felt that fit the tone too.
Yeah, it wasn't awful. I didn't hate it. I see the potential, but do more of the stuff that I like, do less of the brooding. You know, like that's kind of my point on it. And yeah, and it doesn't help that every time I look at Jesse, I think it's Ivan Brandon, but that's a whole other thing. So
I see Howard Stark.
Yeah,
and it's hard. It took me a long time to be like, Howard Stark is a preacher.
I thought he looked great. His voice wasn't really what I thought of, but that's fine.
I got used to him. Tulip is a little, like, her character's a little strange, so it took me a while to get used to her. Mm-hmm. But by the end of it, I was into the three of them.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's a pilot. Yeah, I know. It's a pilot, and you hope that they get the tone figured out going forward. Mm-hmm. But the real thing, Josh, which you've talked about, and which I noticed when I watched the scenes, or, you know, this season, was that it does seem like it's taking place all in a little town.
Yeah.
Which does sort of negate the point of the story, which is this globe-spanning conspiracy and adventure and, you know,
road trip western road with trip your buddies. Western.
Yep.
You know, I can't imagine they're going to end up in New York now. You know, it's a huge part of the story.
Yeah. Can I my one sort of like comic book nitpicky, like this is totally stupid part of it. I hate that they showed his father as a preacher.
Yeah.
Hate it. His father is one of my favorite parts of that story. And they changed that, and then they blew the best line in the entire series in a hazy flashback in the pilot.
I don't think I think that's a pretty major thing they did.
I want to build up to it. I want to see, if you're going to do flashbacks, I want to see like his father go through the thing, and you learn to respect him, and you spend a little time. And I know it's TV, you have to, but the way they did that made it matter. And here it's an aside of, hey, be a good guy.
Yeah.
And it's so much more valuable than that.
Yeah, I definitely, and I'm wondering if they're gonna, because of the hazy nature of it and the like the fast cutting of it or whatever. I wonder if that's gonna be something they revisit and then build up to and hopefully give it the value that it does deserve. That you're right about, Josh. I agree. And part of it is that I really wonder what it would be like to watch this not having read the comic or having no context to it or you know and that sort of thing. Because the thing is,
that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, because the thing, because the thing is also is that we're sitting here waiting and expecting a lot of things, and you know what the resonance of that line is, and you know all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a little unfair to them because the whole season hasn't been done, and we don't see how it gets plays out. But you know, that said, you know, it's hard to not, you know, kind of speculate and wonder and then pass judgment on the future of it, knowing what you know what it could be. So
yeah. Well, right when it started, I was curious how it was going to be structured. Like, is this first season going to be how much of it? You know, what are they going to do? Because the whole the stuff going back to Jesse's grandma, that's all the second book. I'm guessing they don't get to any of that.
Yeah.
Right.
In this season. Is it 8 episodes, 10 or something like that?
It's 10. Yeah, 10. Yep.
There's just so much to do.
Yep.
And I don't know. I was trying to think of it objectively like that. Like, what are we seeing? And I don't know. I don't know if that was well done or not. It's a pilot, though, and pilots tend to, you know, be a hodgepodge. They can go either way. I really like from reading all the stuff with Rogan and Goldberg. Like I felt like they respected it. They liked it. They got it. You know, of what it was supposed to be. But they're living in reality, you know, and have to deal with those kinds of things. I don't know what I would think if I had never seen this before.
Yeah,
it is weird. I was watching with my girlfriend who hasn't read Preacher, and she was very confused once the fight on the plane started happening, and I was like, I got a lot to explain here, and it's just like it. You know, I'd love to hear from anyone listening to this who watched the pilot and hasn't read the comic and what they thought of it. Because
that scene was good for that.
No, that was a great scene, but she was like, "Why are they? Who? He's what? And why are they trying to?" And yeah. I was like,
"That's every kid who's ever watched some nerdy shit with his girlfriend for all time." What's that? They're gonna tell you. Watch it.
But you know, I like this. There's enough that I really like that I am looking forward to this episode too. Because if you go back and watch the pilot for Mad Men, and there was a bit of a wackier tone to that show.
Yeah.
In the first episode than the season going forward, and you make a pilot, you figure it out, okay, this worked, this didn't work. Let's go this way. So I'm curious to see how season two is. Josh, I really liked seeing Dan from Deadwood in the show, though.
I did too. I was like, oh, Dan Doherty, sweet. If you Google Dan Doherty, by the way, the second suggestion is Dan Doherty versus Captain Turner, and I just love that that's the case. If you're listening to this and you know what I'm talking about, you know why. Otherwise, I'm sorry. She watched Deadwood.
The thing about going into the next episode is like the cliffhanger or the whatever, the moment at the end of the first episode when Jesse gets the power and whatever, like I feel like okay, now we start. And really, right. It's going to be judged on episode two moving forward. I think that.
But they got to get to it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That really bugged me.
To pull the curtain back a little bit, we were discussing maybe we should do the pilot and episode two because of the reason we're talking about. But we didn't want to wait 3 weeks to do the show.
Yeah.
So that's too bad. But yeah, I'll be interested to see. I'm really looking forward to season six when they do the extended Vietnam all season flashback.
Wait, do you think they might not do that?
Probably not.
Oh man. So all in all, I guess cautiously optimistic is my how I feel about it.
Yes, that's how I feel about it. Yeah. I think Cassidy's wonderful.
Yes.
And I think once I got used to Tulip's kind of quirky personality, I think she's also wonderful. And I like Dominic Cooper a lot. So I think the three leads, and our space wasn't totally ridiculous. So
yeah,
it felt like we better get him in there so we can sell those T-shirts.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't need to be there yet, and I didn't. I didn't like that. Like, they can't do it. The Arseface's father, who is Dan Doherty from Deadwood, like he was so horrible in the comic book that I felt like they wasted. Like, that's like a great Garth Ennisism in that. It's one of the things that made it great.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they can say those words. Do you remember what he did?
No, not specifically.
Well, at night, he would get drunk, and he would go out into the yard with his shotgun, and he would shoot at the sky at the Martian N-words.
Oh, right. Yeah, they're not going to do it. Well, they already kind of showed he's a pretty horrible person.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like, oh, he's just another backwoods dead, but he's not. I don't know. This is going to be, I don't believe that I can watch this terribly objectively. And I know. And I tried to.
Are you going to?
That's a good question. It wasn't so offensive that, like, when I watched the Constantine first episode, I was like, nope, I'm out. Yeah. This wasn't that.
Well, that's good.
But
I feel like, honestly, that's the best we could hope for.
Yes.
Josh?
Yeah, we're for Josh. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I will say, though, that, like, at the end of the first episode, I was like, please end this. I just want to go to bed.
It was really, yeah.
It was long.
It was really long and dragging and too much brooding and too much of Jesse wandering around the town and what am I doing? And, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So
for a story to be based on something that, like, you could not stop reading it.
Yeah.
You could not put it down.
And this was not that.
It felt like such a disservice.
Yeah.
He's a man of action, you know.
Yep.
Like he's a classic Western hero. So hopefully being imbued with the power and having this sense of purpose will have, like, you know, that moment in the fight when it slowed down and he smiled.
There you go.
I was like, yes. This is what I want. So maybe, you know, hopefully the pilot is just, you know, this guy's in the bottom, he's gonna go back up.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, I'm excited. I mean, if anything, Cassidy is enough. I mean, even if I hated it, I like the guy playing Cassidy, and Cassidy is a character enough to see what they do with it. So I'm on board. I'm going to watch the whole season.
Are those two guys the Angels, or are they from the Mossad? What is that? What's it called? The Hair Stars organization.
I know.
We don't know. We're going to find out.
Well, Jackie O'Haley is coming, so he's good.
It's a question.
Who's Jackie O'Haley playing?
Odin Quincannon.
Oh.
Are we gonna have the Saint of Killers? We gotta have the Saint of Killers, right?
I don't think you can do without the Saint of Killers.
Fucking well, that's the end.
I also demand we have the all season Vietnam storyline.
So, Odin Quincannon doesn't happen until book 8, I think. But he was right there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Say the name. Grab the bane. Say the name.
According to IMDb, he's in nine of the ten episodes. So. Mm. Yep.
The only reason it was that late because I don't think that Ennis thought of him until then, so I don't think that that's necessarily.
Yeah. I do got to admit, I did like seeing. I did expect Garth Ennis as an executive producer, but seeing Steve Dillon, I was like, hey, Steve Dillon, yeah,
best,
like, well done.
Well, at the end of the day, the most important thing is that hopefully this will sell a lot of Preacher trades and they will make a lot of money.
I checked in at my local shop and it already has. Like, there's already been people coming in buying it, so that's awesome. That's good. So, yep.
Those guys deserve to be millionaires. From
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So hopefully that's what the outcome.
I want this to do their story justice because it's that good.
I don't think it's going to be a disaster. That's really the only thing you can hope it's not.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I agree.
I think it's going to be an interesting side take on it.
I think that they had to make the bet somewhat that it would be very successful. They had to make a bet on it being successful enough that they could afford to do the bigger stories going forward.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see if that happens.
Well, I'm excited. So we'll see. We'll keep on watching, and in 2 weeks we'll watch the second episode and see.
We are not going to do this for every episode.
No, we're not. No. So.
Although. Pretty good.
No, I don't know.
I'm kidding. I'm not doing that either.
Yeah.
All right. So go to headway.com. You can find a post for this episode. You can tell us what you thought of Preacher. Maybe you loved it. Maybe you hated it. Really, I want to hear from people who have never read it and watched it and what they thought of it. I'm very curious. And you can find that there. You can look later this week. We'll have an X-Men Apocalypse podcast in which Ron's low expectations will be put to the test.
We'll see.
And of course, you can listen to our regular weekly show, the Pick a League podcast, where we discuss the weekly comic books. You can find all that at fanboy.com. Until next time, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
I'm Josh. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.